Today on Annenberg Radio News.
All of us within the American Military Partner Association have a level of excitement among the executive leaders and among our entire membership.
There are changes on the horizon for gay servicemen and women. Find out what they are and just how far they might go. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 7th, 2013. I'm Omar Shamoot. Southern California is in a state of shock and fear today as a former LAPD officer remains on the loose, suspected in a spree of revenge killings. Christopher Jordan Dorner was fired from the force in 2008 after making a complaint against his field training officer. Over the weekend, Dorner is believed to have killed a man and his fiancée. The woman was the daughter of the lawyer who represented Dorner in a lawsuit to get his job back. Early this morning, police say Dorner ambushed two officers in Riverside, killing one. The LA Times reports he also wounded one other officer in a subsequent chase. SWAT teams discovered a burning pickup truck in the Big Bear area this afternoon that the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department has confirmed belongs to Dorner. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck warned today that Dorner was extremely dangerous.
Of course he knows what he's doing, and we trained him. He was also a member of the armed forces. It is extremely worrisome and scary, especially to the police officers involved.
The Associated Press reports Dorner wrote a 14-page manifesto before this week's rampage. He said he would use all of his police training to evade capture and take out his targets. Dorner added he does not fear death and refuses to believe that bad things happen to good people. Beck says the police won't stop until they find him. State and local governments across the country are taking up gun control since the December mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 children and 6 adult staff members of an elementary school were killed. Producer Aaron Schrank looks at some of California's proposed changes.
Senate Democrats at the Capitol today announced a package of 10 new measures aimed at toughening California's gun laws. Following in New York's footsteps, California lawmakers are out to enact the toughest gun laws in the nation. Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg says the state's 2,800 gun deaths in 2011 mean there's much to do to close gun law gaps.
The measures we are bringing forward will help reach that goal and once again make California's gun laws the very toughest in the nation.
Steinberg is proposing a bill that would require fixed magazines on all guns. One new measure would outlaw so-called bullet buttons that allow gun users to quickly detach and replace ammunition magazines. Another would change the legal definition of shotgun. And another would prohibit the possession, instead of just the purchase, of high-capacity magazines. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa lauded the new proposals and said now is the time to act.
We know that with the passage of time, resolutions to act often wither, and particularly on this issue. This time, we will not let that happen, not in the Golden State.
Lawmakers also called for stricter enforcement of existing gun laws, including confiscating weapons held by 20,000 Californians who are legally prohibited from owning them. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
Downtown Los Angeles is celebrating the opening of the city's first two parklets on Spring Street today. Fiona Wang visited the green spaces this morning and has this report.
People who passed by Spring Street near 7th were attracted by the opening of two parklets. These enclosed mini parks have colorful fences, plants, and public recreational zones. They were built where parking spaces used to be. City Councilman Jose Wither praised the project for helping improve downtown and rejuvenate the streets.
They are designed by the community and custom fitted to a neighborhood by the people who live and work there. The goal of a parklet is to make city streets more pedestrian friendly. They enhance the neighborhood experience, and we hope to encourage a more active lifestyle and build a stronger sense of place, something that we are already seeing here on Spring Street.
Wither also says this community-driven project had help from many other groups and individuals.
This professional team of designers, engineers, architects, lawyers, artists, and even grad students who all live and work here in downtown LA and all working pro bono, pulled off, I think, not in cost terms, but pulled off the Taj Mahal of parkets. Aren't they great? But they did not do it alone. In fact, all our parklets have had amazing support from a number of individuals, businesses, and organizations.
People who live and work around downtown show their excitement for these new green spaces.
I love the parklet. I'm very glad it's here.
That was Crunchy Simmers, who works in that area.
It's a great opportunity for people who live and work in the neighborhood and people just walking by and visiting the nearby businesses to take a minute and relax on the street, utilize the active transportation options, and have a good time interacting with their neighbors.
Amanda Wallace agrees.
I love it. I think it's a really innovative way to transform urban space, and I'm really excited to use it. I haven't got to sit on those swings yet, but they look really cool.
Thank you so much. Two more parklets have been built in Highland Park and El Sereno. Weather and other Los Angeles officials say they are expecting a citywide expansion to follow. Fiona Wen, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa launched a new program today to raise awareness of an income tax credit for working families in Los Angeles. The Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, will help low- and moderate-income families claim thousands of dollars each year. The IRS estimates 20% of families eligible for EITC do not claim it on their taxes. The program also provides free tax help. On Saturday, Family Source Centers will offer volunteer income tax assessment. Time to look at the weather. Temperatures in Los Angeles will drop into the low 50s tonight, with rain expected all through Friday. It will remain chilly throughout the weekend, with a high of 60 degrees during the day on Saturday. Evening temperatures will dip into the low 40s. Sunday will see a little more sunshine. Highs are expected in the low 60s, but it should cool down once again overnight, with temperatures in the mid 40s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we talk with an activist about possible new benefits for gay and lesbian military spouses. City officials and community members gathered today for a bus tour of blighted homes in Los Angeles. Reporter Sarah Politis went along to learn more about the issue.
Good morning again. My name is Johnny Williams, organizer at Good Jobs LA.
Banks have foreclosed on thousands of homes in South LA. Today's tour showed how banks are failing to keep up with these properties in accordance with the city's blight ordinance. The ordinance charges banks $1,000 a day per blighted home.
When you live in an area like this that's already gang and drug infested, it kind of takes the morals away from the kids and the young adults as to how they feel about themselves to have to walk past something like this every day or be afraid to walk by it at night.
One of the tour's organizers, David Mazariegos, says it's important to make the banks accountable in South LA.
Well, number one, the city could definitely enforce the blight ordinance that charges the banks $1,000 a day per blighted home. The ordinance is on the books right now, but we need it to be enforced aggressively.
Neighbors living next to these homes spoke up about what they've experienced. Miguel Lopez says in one house, the owner let a squatter stay there.
See all the trash. They had kids up in there. We talked to the girl. They said they called child services on her already. But other than that, I don't know what's been going on with this house. This is the only house abandoned here. And there's black, but it's getting worse. They just leave it there.
Organizers of the tour say the blighted homes are bringing down the value of other properties in the neighborhoods because of their poor condition and their appeal to drug and gang activities. City officials have said that the city just doesn't have enough inspectors to visit these properties and enforce the law. This is Sarah Politis with Annenberg Radio News.
An Obama administration official announced this week that Pentagon Chief Leon Panetta might extend benefits to gay spouses of service members who are currently denied. The American Military Partner Association is one of the groups that's been lobbying for this change. I spoke with its Director of Educational Affairs, Dr. Lori Hensick, to gauge her reaction. Tell us your reaction to this latest development.
I personally am extremely excited, and all of us within the American Military Partner Association do have a level of excitement among the executive leaders and among our entire membership. There are certainly a lot of questions and even concerns within that in terms of what might be extended, but this has definitely garnered a lot of support that we think is certainly long overdue.
So what provisions do you know will be part of the new procedure?
There are some benefits that are available or not available because of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, whereas there are other benefits that are unavailable because of DOD regulations. DOMA benefits include access to medical and dental insurance and TRICARE, for example, whereas some of the benefits under the DOD regulations that Secretary Panetta is able to have some immediate effect on include things like joint duty assignments, meaning when dual military couples are stationed, they're generally stationed in the same area. However, because of the language used, they're unable to be stationed or be eligible for stationing and being stationed in the same areas based on their relationship. Some other benefits under the DOD regulations include free legal service that's available to families based on their dependency status, military family housing. And then a few of the other benefits under DOD include shopping at commissaries, family programs that are available to families, spousal privilege and court martial, meaning whether or not an individual is able to refuse to testify against their spouse in a criminal case, and relocation and overseas, meaning when a service member is relocated, the funding is not available to same-sex partners when they try to accompany their significant other overseas or at the location to which they're assigned.
So why do you think the Defense Department needs to worry about DOMA restrictions if President Obama has said the government won't enforce it?
It actually creates a very sticky legal situation, if you will, because while he says, or while the administration says they will not defend DOMA, meaning they won't, that they disagree with it, or they find, you know, for whatever reason, he may disagree with DOMA, and so he won't defend it in the courts. However, without the actual language within the law being changed, that still creates a barrier. So, for example, you know, I'm just going to use a very easy example of, you know, base access. You know, if someone were to say, you know, we're going to extend base access, meaning same-sex individual or same-sex military families can access the base at any time. However, but you're not granting them an ID card, obviously, right, that creates a struggle. So while Obama has clearly supported LGBT military families by saying, you know, I am not going to support or I'm not going to defend DOMA, he hasn't removed the additional barrier or the additional layer to actually truly open up those gates to extend the benefits, because by definition it defaults to the law where it clearly states that marriage is between a man and a woman. What we are hoping at the American Partners Military Partner Association is that people recognize that this is far more reaching than a personal belief, that this really affects the health and the financial well-being of not only the service members, but their partners and the children that are involved in these families as well.
That was Dr. Lori Hansick, Director of Educational Affairs for the American Military Partner Association. The news site EveryBlock issued a statement today saying it is shutting down immediately. The former NBC Universal site was a geotagged news service. It provided links to local news coverage, restaurant reviews, crime, and community happenings. In a post on the company's blog, the staff said it was a challenge to stay profitable. USC Annenberg professor Andrew Lee says the sudden closure says something about the state of hyperlocal news.
I think, sadly, it is simply an exclamation point on the fact that hyperlocal on a very broad level, or trying to do it on a national level with one platform, with one entity, is really hard and likely is not going to succeed, at least in this generation.
Lee says one of EveryBlock's problems was that it was too generic and didn't evolve for each individual community.
To get a good hyperlocal site that resonates with a small community, you need folks who understand the community and likely have to craft software and certain features on a site that cater to that community.
That was Andrew Lee, a journalism professor with the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. The 55th Annual Grammy Awards are this Sunday. Who's nominated for what? What's going to win big? Jillian Baker has predictions for the year's biggest night in music.
The Grammy Awards are only a few days away, and many are wondering who will be the big winner of the night. Last year, British pop singer Adele swept the awards, taking home a total of 6 Grammys. This year looks like it will play out much differently. There's no clear frontrunner in any major category. With so many equal contenders, the Grammys are anyone's game. Nominees for Record of the Year include Taylor Swift's breakup anthem, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, and Gotye's Infectious, Somebody That I Used to Know. Gotye and Swift, along with fellow nominees Kelly Clarkson and Fun, have all hit number one on the Billboard charts. But considering the runaway success of both Fun and Gotye singles, these artists are poised to take the top prize. This year, it was hard to escape Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe. So it's no surprise the catchy tune is nominated for Song of the Year. Call Me Maybe earned considerable radio play in 2012. But it's hard to say how fond the Grammy committee is of Jepsen's runaway hit. Brooklyn's Fun seems a likely contender to snag the award for its song, We Are Young. English folk rock outfit Mumford & Sons has yet to win a Grammy Award. The group appears poised to take home the Album of the Year Award, but stiff competition from fellow nominees Fun and the Black Keys makes this category one to definitely watch. One artist who might go home empty-handed? R&B singer Frank Ocean. Ocean's candid debut album, Channel Orange, won over music critics and fans alike, me included. Yet, the rising singer could likely lose both New Artist and Album of the Year. Ocean has a long career ahead. It's filled with plenty more chances at Grammy nods. Hopefully, he won't take his potential snubs too seriously. Whoever wins, it's bound to be an amazing night in music. Can you say Twitter overload? Jillian Baker, Annenberg Radio News.
Find out the winners this Sunday when the Grammys air on CBS starting at 8 p.m. One group of USC athletes is more excited than usual for its season opener this weekend. Reporter Evan Budrovich talked to new head coach Lindsay Monday about the lacrosse team's inaugural season.
The Los Angeles Coliseum has been home to many record-breaking achievements over its 100-plus year history. This Saturday, a new era of athletics begins as the USC women's lacrosse program plays their first game as an NCAA team. Leading the charge is current Team USA player Lindsay Monday, who has high hopes for this program.
You know, I always knew I wanted to be a head coach, and my goal was to be a head coach at a university where I thought consistently successful, and USC certainly is that place.
For those of you new to lacrosse, it is widely considered an East Coast game. 2 years ago, USC announced it would make women's lacrosse its 21st intercollegiate sport, a decision that will influence girls all over the West Coast.
I mean, the West Coast is so exciting right now in terms of lacrosse. There are so many people that play, and you know, I think that the passion is there and the excitement is there, and as a coach, that's the most fun thing.
In a non-revenue sport like lacrosse, players are incentivized by their school pride and the joy of competition. Coach Monday can also rely upon USC's athletic pedigree to mold successful student athletes.
For lacrosse, you know, there is nothing afterwards in terms of, you know, getting paid to play or anything like that. So, you know, we want to set our players up for success after college, and USC provides a tremendous education.
This team has definitely taken their fair share of blows to get to this point. Sophomore Kayla Somi took a risk coming to USC, spending an entire year practicing before embarking on the season.
So we all really learned a lot, and I think we all improved, and it was an opportunity that most people don't get to have to just train for a year and have such like close attention from the coaches.
Coach Monday recognizes her player's sacrifice.
But I think it provided the foundation for this program and what we want to focus on in terms of hard work, and it's about the journey, not about just the game that's ahead.
The Trojans begin their season against the top-ranked Northwestern Wildcats, a program that has won 7 out of the last 8 national championships. Luckily for the Trojans, Coach Monday is thinking about the big picture.
at the end of the day, we need to put all that aside and just go out there and compete. You know, we're really not trying to focus on the score or how we're going to match up or any of those things. It's all about competing.
Regardless of the outcome, the women's lacrosse team wants to strap on the cleats and fire up those competitive juices.
Right now, we're just trying to be as competitive as we can, and I think if we work hard and just keep improving, I think we can end up being really good.
The women of Troy begin play at 3 p.m. from the Coliseum. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
Today is National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. An organization known as In the Meantime Men's Group met in South L.A. today to launch an anti-homophobia campaign called X-Homophobia. As Claire Pyrese reports on what the group is doing, to shed light on HIV/AIDS in the black community.
Members of In the Meantime held a peaceful protest on the corner of Crenshaw and South Leimert Boulevards. They administered free HIV tests and distributed condoms to the community.
What do we want?
Stop the hate!
Ex-homophobia win!
Now!
Ex-homophobia win!
Now!
No more hate!
Celebrate!
No more hate!
Celebrate!
Today, In the Meantime, is calling for an end to homophobia in our community.
That's Jeffrey King of In the Meantime. His comments were echoed by USC student Kai Green, who was there to add his voice.
But today I stand here with so many people who dare to fight and say, I am black and gay, I am black and lesbian, I am black and transgender, I am black and woman, I am black and poor, I am black and HIV positive, and my life, our lives matter.
What do we want?
Stop the hate!
No more hate!
Celebrate!
Not as supportive was local resident Vanessa Robinson.
And do you support their protest outside?
Yes and no. No, because I don't really want my son to grow up in that type of environment. Like, I really don't want him exposed to stuff like that. And yes, I do support it because I'm not God, so therefore I can't judge people. I can't see my son being homosexual. I'm not a homophobia or anything. I just can't deal with it. I grew up in church, stuff like that. Like, I can't deal with it.
Homosexuality hasn't always been accepted in the black church, but not so for Reverend Russell Thornhill, co-pastor of the Unity Fellowship of Christ Church. He urged the crowd not to stand for homophobic discrimination.
It's a call to action. It's a call to stop the hate. It's a call that says we won't stand for homophobia in our community. It's a call that says that we won't stand for hate crimes in our community.
No,
it's a call that says that we won't stand for discrimination in our community.
No,
it's a call that says we won't stand for the transmission of HIV and AIDS in our community.
No.
We will stand.
That's right.
Because our love is worth it. Thank you.
Our love is worth protecting.
Stop the spread of HIV.
Our love is worth protecting.
Stop the spread of HIV.
What do we want?
The director of Condom Nation, James Velaquette, advocated for safe sex.
Well, I've been HIV positive for 22 years, and we want to continue to maintain this dialogue throughout the community, making condoms available in beauty salons and barbershops. And when I say beauty salons, we want women to carry them. We want men to carry them. We want everybody to know about them. There's no shame in having them in your purse or having them at the ready and just being safe and protecting the community. We drive this around the country and we go from city to city. And a lot of the time that we do, we spend in the black community because it's one of the communities that's most at risk across the United States. We're talking about 12% of the population that's responsible for 40% of the new infections.
No more hate!
Celebrate!
No more hate!
Celebrate!
No more hate!
Celebrate!
Claire Pyrese, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Joy Wang to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Well, coming up on ATVN, we have more on the manhunt for former LAPD officer Christopher Dorner and what officials should do next. On the East Coast, people from New York to Boston are stocking up on food and other supplies in preparation for a record-breaking winter blizzard. Finally, we'll take a look at New York Fashion Week. This year's theme, Anything Goes. For all that and more, tune into ATVN on Trojan Vision at 6.
That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from ATVN. I'm Omar Shamoot. Thank you very much.